Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires, also known as the Jimmy Garoppolo Appreciation Podcast.
It should be that, because Jimmy Garoppolo has gotten a lot of flack, as warranted, over the past few weeks. And he comes out against Chicago in week 8. The 49ers get a 33-22 victory. And how about Jimmy Garoppolo rushing for 2 touchdowns? That's not something I thought I would be saying on this post-game edition of 49ers Talk.
Yeah, not exactly scripted, the first one. Not exactly how they drew it up. But, hey, a rushing touchdown is a rushing touchdown. And a victory is a victory. And this victory maybe was one of the more exciting and from the standpoint of, oh, I just spilled water all over my notes. So
I'm winging it.
Yeah.
Dry them off.
You know how things go, Laura. Sometimes you just have to go off script. And today we'll definitely have to go off script, just like the 49ers did on Sunday against the Chicago Bears. But anyway, what I was trying to say was that when they were coming in off the field, oh my gosh, the excitement. They looked like a team that hadn't won a game since week 2 of the regular season.
That would make sense.
That would make sense because they hadn't won a game until week 2 or since week 2 of the regular season.
Yeah, that was probably in your notes, which, by the way, I would be panicking right now if I had just spilled water all over my notes. So good on you for not freaking out right now.
Well, I remain cool under pressure, just like what Jimmy Garoppolo did. The 49ers, this was a very key play. There are a lot of key plays in the 49ers victory over the Bears, which I can tell. Let's see, did I write it down? Yeah, 33-22, I think, was the final score, correct?
You're right on that. Bingo. This will be a fun game to play for the rest of the podcast.
Yes, it will be. Debo Samuel makes the big play. I thought I already had my tweet written. I was like, the 49ers are punting now for the very first time. But then they convert the third and long. Debo Samuel takes them all the way down to the 1 yard line. A penalty brings them back 6-5 yards. And then the 49ers have a play at the 2 yard line. And the play was designed to be a handoff to Debo Samuel. But because of the crowd noise, there was the snap count was off a little bit. And so Debo Samuel basically was like flat footed. Jimmy gets the snap and is like telling him, like, go. And then he kind of, there's like this split second of indecision. Jimmy Garoppolo knew which hole Debo Samuel was supposed to run through. And so he followed it in and picks up the not as designed 2 yard touchdown run. And then later, Jimmy Garoppolo on a keeper, on a read option, scores on another touchdown run. And then are we going to give him credit for the Elijah Mitchell touchdown as well, when Jimmy kind of like pushed Trent Williams in the back to get in there?
I think I give more credit to Trent Williams. I don't know. I just feel like maybe if Trent Williams puts a finger, that's a little bit more than what Jimmy Garoppolo could do.
Probably.
But it was a team effort.
That play?
Yeah. Well, Elijah Mitchell touchdown was, he had both teams on him. The entire Bears and 49ers offense and Bears defense, Elijah Mitchell carried with him into the end zone for the touchdown in the fourth quarter to put the 49ers up 23-16. And that was their first lead of the game. It didn't come until the fourth quarter. At the half, they trailed 13-9 to the Bears. And really at the start of the game, the entire first half, it seemed as though it was going to be much of what we have seen on this 4-game losing streak. It was a lot of shooting themselves in the foot. Penalties.
Not literally, by the way.
Oh, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
Penalties were the problem. you get a chance to score and it's field goals or missed field goals, as Joey Sly missed a field goal and an extra point in the 49ers win over the Bears. And it was a lack of urgency early in the game. In the second half, the 49ers played a completely different team than they did in the first half. They scored 18 points in the fourth quarter to get this victory. And it was, to say it was much needed is an understatement. And when you're on a four-game losing streak, you're in the NFC West, it's hot. They've got the Cardinals coming up, then the Rams after that. It's not an easy stretch that they have after this Bears game. And it was a must-win. You have to snap out of this funk. That's what the 49ers were in. Nothing was working. Everything they were trying was just falling flat. I think the big difference on Sunday against the Bears was you saw someone else besides Deebo Samuel get involved in the offense. And I don't want to downplay
it. Oh, we saw Deebo Samuel a lot.
Yeah, we saw him a lot. So we saw him a lot, but there were other people that were involved too, being Mohamed Sanu and also Brandon Ayuk getting involved and Elijah Mitchell. I can't say enough good things about the rookie running back. He has been so impressive. He's so patient. It seems like he's a veteran. And I think the 49ers have found their running back of the future in Elijah Mitchell.
In the future. I agree with the current. I agree. And, you know, Raheem Mostert is going to be a free agent. He's going to have, or he already had the surgery. So he's hoping for a 100% return. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as far as Raheem Mostert and his future with the 49ers. But, you know, I don't know that another team is going to go out there and sign him to a big money deal. He'll probably have to play on a one-year contract somewhere. But watching Elijah Mitchell today, and my vantage point here at Soldier Field when I'm watching a game, it's in the press box, which is located on, I guess it's the southeast side of the stadium in the end zone. And there were a couple running plays where I had like this perfect angle vision of what Elijah Mitchell is looking at as he's attacking the hole. And this one play in particular off the left side, off left tackle, like there was nothing there but two of his blockers. And you could see him just kind of angle right between them where there wasn't a hole, but that hole opened and closed in a split second. And his timing was absolutely perfect to hit the hole just as it was opening. Laura, have you ever, like, you know, you hear the elevator doors start to close and you try to slide through, or people in the Bay Area on BART, whenever that you hear that bing and you know the doors are going to close and you slide in and you kind of turn your body? That's the way he looked. And it was neat to watch that angle, but just neat in general to watch him run that football. And I mean, big day for him. 18 carries, 137 yards and a touchdown. And on the season, he's averaging 5.3 yards a carry. His total is up to 433 yards on the year. But just watching him get the tough yards, get, you know, the explosive plays. So, yeah, he's an impressive young guy.
One of the things that really stood out and that was discussed a lot during the game, during the broadcast, and then on 49ers Halftime Live. By the way, I don't know that everybody knows this. We don't put it out there that much, but if you want to head over to the NBC Sports Bay Area YouTube channel at halftime of every game, I'm joined by Joe Staley, Takiyo Spikes, Dante Whitner. We do a halftime show over on the NBC Sports Bay Area YouTube channel, so you can always join us there. But one of the things we talked about a lot in that halftime show was about the time of possession discrepancy. And that actually continued all the way through the game. The Bears had the ball for 15 more minutes than the 49ers. And typically you see, you know, a team that controls the time of possession typically controls the game. But with the how effective the 49ers were able to be in the second half with the ball in their hands is where they made up for lost time.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, right, I mean, you always associate ball control with the winning team. You know, you kind of have control of the game, and that's what it kind of infers. But what Kyle Shanahan really likes are those explosive plays. You know, that's what his offense is designed to capture. You know, you set a team up And, you know, we've talked a lot, or at least there's been a lot of discussion about Kyle Shanahan's play calling. And I we talked after the game on Sunday night against the Colts about how the 49ers were running the ball successfully, but they didn't stick with it. You know, they had the three incomplete passes or three passes that didn't generate any yards after they had opened the game so successfully. But what Kyle Shanahan does, what his whole idea of play calling is that, you know, you show the defense something, and maybe the same play doesn't work twice in a row because of the deception that's involved in some of their blocking schemes and misdirection or whatever else. You're trying to trick the linebacker to take a false step over here when the play's actually going there. So in a lot of ways, you know, Kyle Shanahan's offense isn't necessarily designed to, you find one play that works and you just keep doing it over and over because of the creative nature of their offense. But what he likes to do, and the reason why he uses, you know, he doesn't stick with one thing over and over, is because when he has success, when the offense has success with a particular play, it sets up something else that they can run off of that. And so that's the rhythm that this 49ers offense found itself in on Sunday against the Bears, which was, you know, one play kind of led to another and led to another. And the result was a very unbusy day for punter Mitch Wishnowsky, who needed it. You know why he needed a very unbusy day, Laura?
He just had a baby.
Well, he didn't, but his wife Maddie did.
He had a part in creating it.
He certainly did. And that's okay. Maybe we should switch the subject here, or else we're going to have like a mature audience only rating on this.
The little E for explicit.
Yeah. So Maddie gets a game ball. Maddie is Mitch Wishnowsky's wife. And Mitch hurried back to Chicago, or hurried to Chicago, to be here for the game. He arrived at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, and then the poor fella doesn't even get used. Well, I guess he held on field goals and extra points, but a zero punt day for Mitch Wishnowsky, a zero turnover day for the 49ers offense. That was some pretty efficient football. Now, I know they settled for more field goals in the beginning than they wanted to, but we saw the glimpses of a pretty good 49ers offensive performance. And let's talk a little bit about Jimmy Garoppolo returning to Chicagoland and what this meant to him and maybe what it means to the team. And we'll talk a little bit more about Jimmy Garoppolo after this word from Big O Tires.
Did you know that the warranty from a tire manufacturer could be voided if your car is out of alignment? At Big O Tires, we install and maintain every tire we sell and offer critical services like alignments. Here at Big O, everything we do is to protect you and your car. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
We're back on 49ers Talk, brought to you by Big O Tires. And I could sense it. Jimmy Garoppolo, this game meant a lot for him. It meant a lot to him. It meant a lot, I think, for the organization, because there was this cloud. And, I mean, there were people on podcasts, Laura. I heard these people saying, Trey Lance, start. He should get in there.
Who
no more Jimmy Garoppolo.
Say that?
I don't know who those people were. But, you know, the NFL is a week-to-week thing. And when somebody's hot, you ride with him. And so I have a feeling those two people, although I can only speak for one of those two people, would say Jimmy Garoppolo should start against the Arizona Cardinals based on how he managed the game, pushed all the right buttons. He made all the right decisions. Jimmy Garoppolo had himself a really good game against the Chicago Bears. And I'm sure the 49ers are hoping, and Jimmy Garoppolo's hoping, and the fan base is hoping that momentum will carry over now, and there won't be such the rush of people wanting to see Trey Lance get out there, because there was never going to be this big groundswell of support of play Lance now, as long as the 49ers were winning and Jimmy Garoppolo was playing well. Well, maybe Sunday against the Bears was that first step for making that happen.
I think it's a first step. I'm not swayed very easily one way or the other that quickly. And so I'm not fully convinced. Now, listen, I've been very critical of Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's deserved a lot of the criticism that he's faced. And you asked him about that in the post-game presser, you know, very honestly, how tough it's been for him. But one of the other things that I took away from his post-game presser after the victory over the Bears, he was asked about the homecoming and what it means to him. He had 100 friends and family, from what I hear, that were there. What I'm saying is, fly the 100 friends and family to every game at Levi's Stadium, if that's what it takes, because it was a different guy. It was a completely different guy. Is that enough to push a player to perform at their best? I don't know. Jimmy Garoppolo has shown flashes of what he did on Sunday against the Bears in the past, but it's never been consistent. And consistency is what you need at the quarterback position. So while I want to give credit where credit is due, he had a very good game. I think the biggest factor for him was not throwing an interception, not turning the ball over. If you can take care of the football, especially at the quarterback position, that tends to dictate what happens and a lot of the outcome of the game. But one game is not going to sway me completely back to say, Jimmy's the guy for the rest of the season. I was there in week one, and coming into the season, I thought it was going to be, you know, the 49ers need to roll with Jimmy Garoppolo. I was with Shanahan on all that. Like, he gives them the best chance. But with all of the outside things that were a part of this game for him, being from, you know, the Chicagoland area, going to college nearby, with all of those other aspects, that obviously put a chip on his shoulder. He wants to perform, live up to the expectations in front of his friends and family. I just want him to be able to do that when he's away from his friends and his family too.
Yeah, before the game against the Bears, I was talking to a very high-ranking 49ers official, not named Kyle Shanahan, by the way. And the talk was that, you know, Kyle doesn't want to go to Trey Lance quite yet, because he's not a believer that all experience is good experience. You know, he wants, you know, for instance, whatever Zach Wilson was doing with the Jets, you know, was that good experience? Probably not. That's probably not going to be real useful for Zach Wilson to go through what he's gone through as the quarterback of the Jets as a rookie. And before Sunday's game, I probably would have said the same thing about Justin Fields, and maybe that wasn't great experience. Now, I thought he played really well on Sunday against the 49ers, so that's encouraging for the Chicago Bears. But, you know, the feeling was just that the longer that they could kind of hold off, and the longer that you know, Jimmy Garoppolo could play winning football for the 49ers, that Trey Lance could mix in, and that would be the way to grow him and to get him better and to get him ready to take over as the 49ers starting quarterback. And, you know, Garoppolo, you know, his number, 17 of 28, 322 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but the running plays that he had that scored two touchdowns. It really is a week-to-week thing. And now there's got to be this level of consistency. So, yeah, I mean, Laura, just because we're complimenting Jimmy Garoppolo after the win against the Bears, it's the to me, it just kind of, it cleans the slate, right? And now he'll be judged again on what he does against the Arizona Cardinals. And what'll be like a nice little measuring stick will be that the 49ers just played the Arizona Cardinals not long ago, and the quarterback in that game was Trey Lance, and the 49ers scored 10 points in that game. The 49ers struggled on third downs. They struggled on fourth downs. The defense played well enough to win that game, and now they're going to be facing an Arizona Cardinals team that may or may not have Kyler Murray, but the Cardinals, not a bye week, but they have a long week, because their week 8 game was against the Green Bay Packers on a Thursday night, and is the only game the Cardinals have lost so far this season. But it's all, you know, the NFL really is, it's just week to week. And one of the things that has really stood out to me over, and I'm not sure how many years it's I felt this way, but it just seemed like when the 49ers were really good, you know, in their dynasty days, that they were so consistent. And the one team you saw this week was the exact same team you saw the next week. And they just played at a consistently high level week in, week out. Now it just seems like, and I'm sure, you know, the 2019 season was, Flyers were pretty darn consistent that year. But, you know, when a team is kind of trying to find itself, you there's this roller coaster. And sometimes it's, they play well in the first quarter, horrible in the second and third, and rally again in the fourth. And we've seen that, you know, like the game against the Colts, they looked really good early on, and then they looked really good later on, but in between and after, just not the same. I think they played pretty consistently good football. Defense probably could have played a lot better against the Bears. The run defense could have been better. But I think the offense probably had its best game. I mean, heck, when you don't turn the ball over and you don't punt, that's a pretty good game. So we'll see. Now it's a matter of consistency and if Jimmy Garoppolo can put another good game together.
Yeah, I think they played a lot better in the second half. The first half, they still suffered from a lot of the same issues like I was talking about earlier. They were 2 of 6 on third down. Their third down conversion rate in the first half, not good. Not good. Now, at the end of the game, they were 4 of 10. So, you know, improving a little bit there. And then, of course, we mentioned the time of possession, but they were still able to get the victory, which is, I think, an important factor there. But I want to also not jump to, okay, now the 49ers know who they are. You know, now they know who they are and we can, and everybody can move on. Do they, you know, was it because it was a bad Chicago Bears team? I mean, let's face it. The Bears were 3-4 coming into this game. Not the best team. Justin Fields had not been playing great.
That's the
football.
Same record the 49ers have right now.
Right. Well, I know. I mean, yeah. That's what I'm saying. So now the 49ers have the Cardinals and the Rams. It's going to be much tougher tests. Again, I don't feel like I have to say this. Of course, a win is a win in the NFL. You know, yes, but there are harder opponents. And I would say a team that has lost one game this entire season in the Arizona Cardinals is a tougher opponent than they faced in week 8 against the Chicago Bears. Now, there are a couple things to be on the lookout for. You mentioned Kyler Murray. We'll be monitoring that all week, obviously. J.J. Watt could potentially be out for the season with a shoulder injury. And DeAndre Hopkins is a guy that was checking himself into the game when his head coach did not want him to with a hamstring injury on Thursday night and their loss to the Packers. So we have to see how that injury, you know, gets handled this week, whether he practices. Is he going to be limited? Will he be available? So those are three big name players for the Cardinals that could potentially be out in week 9 against the 49ers. And if the 49ers, whatever way they have to go out and get a victory over the Cardinals, however you do that, that's a confidence booster. If they're able to do that in week 9, they are really back in this hunt for the playoffs, especially with how the NFC wild card race is stacking up.
49ers Talk is brought to you by FitAid. FitAid fuels your body with complete sports recovery using the power of targeted supplements and vitamins. Train hard, recover fast. And you mentioned that the health issues with the Arizona Cardinals. Well, the 49ers, they could be getting two guys back, Robbie Gould and George Kittle, coming back. They have been on IR for the required 3 weeks, so they are potentially going to be available for the 49ers to face the Cardinals. And Kyle Shanahan after the game on Monday said that's his hope. That's what he's anticipating. Now they'll have a better idea Monday and Tuesday about where those guys are health-wise. However, I think there might be a little bit of bad news too, because Jimmy Ward was ruled out of the game against the Bears in the second half with a quad injury. And so usually when a guy has that kind of injury, you know, quad and hamstring, my guess is that he won't be able to play in this game against the Cardinals. That's a very preliminary guess. They already are down Jaquaski Tartt with a knee injury, and Talanoa Hufanga stepped in, and I think he played pretty well in his first NFL start. So they could be without their two starting safeties. And then it'd probably be Tavon Wilson would step in and play in place of Jimmy Ward. So those are a couple things to keep an eye on. But, man, I tell you what, George Kittle is a huge part of this 49ers team. And I think the belief was just kind of keep it together, Help is on the way. You know, George is really a dynamic player with the ball in his hands. He's a dynamic player in the run game. And I bet you wherever he was watching that game Sunday, I bet the play that he wishes he could have been a part of was the Elijah Mitchell run, because Mitchell from the 5-yard line, it looked like he was going to gain 2 yards probably. And then I like, you know, I saw the pile and I went in the back and I got a sandwich and I, you know, put some, you know, fixings on my sandwich and I had my sandwich and I turned around and the play's still going. Like the play took like 5 minutes, right? I mean, I counted Alex Mack, Mike McGlinchey, Laken Tomlinson, Deebo Samuel was in there. Trent Sherfield was in there. Charlie Warner was in there. Everybody was pushing Elijah Mitchell forward. And then Jimmy, of course, as we talked about, kind of, you know, threw his hand in there to push, give it a little push too. But that play right there was the play that Kyle Shanahan said he felt kind of exemplified the 49ers fighting spirit. And I've said this, Laura, I mean, I've been around bad teams. I've seen teams that just didn't have a chance, and I've seen locker rooms give up, and I've seen players give up. And I don't think that's an issue with this team. I mean, we criticized them last week because we didn't feel like they had the kick butt guys who could hold other players accountable, but I would never, ever question the character in that locker room. And I think that, you know, what we saw through that one play, just kind of the epitome of what that play meant. And Kyle Shanahan said that kind of is, you know, that's what our team is. That's what he said. That's what our team is. That relentlessness, that, you know, not giving up. And it finally showed up. You know, we can only talk so glowingly about a team for so long until they better start winning football games. And you know, to hear the locker room, the guys in the locker room just cheering. I mean, they were having fun. And that play really kind of summed up why they're having fun. And we got a lot more to talk about, Laura, on the other side, just more of the offensive pieces coming together. And we're going to continue this discussion on 49ers Talk.
Toyota's lineup feels a lot like the Niners. Versatile.
Would you look at this team?
Filled with a whole lot of drive.
He's in the end zone. Touchdown!
And wide open for any new challenge.
What a play!
Buckle up for the road ahead with Camry Hybrid, RAV4, and the all-new 2022 Corolla Cross. Built with power, style, and a lot of fun.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Niners, baby!
Because you never know where the next drive will take you. Proud partner of the San Francisco 49ers. Toyota. Let's go places.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, Niner gang.
Faithful to the Bay. Be there as the 49ers continue to celebrate their 75th anniversary season with a full capacity of the faithful at Levi's Stadium, November 7th against the Arizona Cardinals. Secure your seats today at 49ers.com/tickets.
Niner gang. Niner gang. Who are we?
We are back on 49ers Talk, and you know, we talked about some of the guys coming back, George Kittle coming back, and that's such a key because really it's been the Deebo Samuel show. And this game on Sunday didn't start off well for Deebo Samuel, but man, did he kick it in. Did he make some big time plays? And did you know this, Laura? Through 7 games, Deebo Samuel has the most receiving yards right now, 819, more receiving yards than any 49er player in team history through 7 games. And I don't know if you know this, but this is a team that had a guy by the name of Jerry Rice playing football. And he
Tell me more about that guy.
Oh, I could tell you stories about Jerry Rice.
Your notes dried off, did they, huh?
They did, yeah, yeah.
No, wow, I mean, Deebo Samuel, 6 receptions for 171 yards. The play of the game was – this is so typical of Deebo, especially in 2021. When the Niners need a spark, it's been Deebo that provides it. In the third quarter, they had a 3rd-and-19 at the San Francisco 16, and that's when Jimmy Garoppolo found Deebo Samuel for the 83-yard, almost touchdown So yeah, the spark is and has been and continues to be Deebo Samuel, but I did like to see Mohamed Sanu. He had 3 receptions for 59 yards, the 21-yard completion to Sanu as well. And then Brandon Ayuk, 4 receptions, 45 yards. He also had a 23-yard reception as well. And
also the 2-point conversion. You know, that does.
That 2-point conversion.
It doesn't go in the stats, which I don't know why it doesn't, but it doesn't. But yeah, a big play there to give the 49ers an 8-point lead.
Yeah, that was in the fourth quarter after that Elijah Mitchell 5-yard touchdown was the 2-point conversion that Brandon Ayuk had. Thanks for bringing that up because, yeah, I think that was a big play for him. And I don't know if it's what he's been doing in practice or if this was just a
great
– right, because it seemed Kyle Shanahan was trusting him.
Yes.
And Jimmy Garoppolo was trusting him.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk.
And I don't think – and to your point, Laura, I don't think that trust has been there before this game.
Right.
Clearly.
I don't think it's been there. I don't think that they've been targeting him. I mean, they haven't. It's not that a thought. They haven't been targeting Brandon Ayuk until – and so maybe this is a game that you circle and say, Brandon Ayuk now can be a part of the offense. I think he did really well today. He helped alleviate some of the pressure off of Deebo. And if it's kind of what we've seen with George Kittle in the past. The guy's going to get double and triple teamed. Everybody knows where you're going with the ball if there's only one guy that's able to make plays. Mm-hmm. But now if you can spread out the offense, if you can diversify, it's just like your financial situation. You want diversification. The 49ers offense needs diversification, and they got it on Sunday with Sanu and Jamichael Hasty as well. He had the 23-yard reception. So it was a lot more spread out evenly. Evenly is not the right word because Deebo Samuel still put the offense on his back and carried a big bulk of the load. But I did like to see other players involved.
Yeah, so they finally got some dividends from Brandon Ayuk. I asked him the question that everybody wants to know. Like, what?
I appreciated that.
What is going on? Why hasn't this clicked? And he really didn't give an answer, but you could kind of sense, you could sense that he's got the right attitude, right? I mean, you know, people, we want to blame folks, you know, and like there's a lot of blame. You know, Kyle Shanahan isn't designing the plays. Why is he in the doghouse? Why aren't the quarterbacks throwing to him? My take has been that it's been on Brandon Ayuk. You know, he hasn't done the things necessary in order for him to take that next step from a very good rookie season to what was quite frankly, a kind of a disastrous first 6 games of the year for him. When you're talking about a guy who played so well all of last season to only have 9 catches for 96 yards through 6 games. And this wasn't a huge statistical game, but it just felt different, didn't it? I mean, even though it wasn't, you know, you look at his stat line, 4 catches for 45 yards, you know, whatever. But it just felt different. It felt like a guy who is making all the right strides now. It just felt different. And that's going to be a huge key for the 49ers, not only getting George Kittle back, for Deebo Samuel to continue his role, and now for Brandon Ayuk to mix in there, and Mohamed Sanu, he had some big third down catches. And, you know, really everybody's talking about that big play for Deebo Samuel on the 49ers' first drive of the third quarter. But that 50-yard catch down the field at the end of the first half, that was a big play, a really big play, because I think in a lot of ways, you know, that created momentum too. And, you know, I always watch the end of the half, and I know fans go nuts when the 49ers let the time roll off, but I know exactly what was going on. They always do it. They don't want to give the ball back to the Bears. So, you know, they milk the clock a little bit. And if they're able to pick up a first down, then they go into hurry up mode. And then they try to push it. But the last thing you want is to give the Bears the ball back at the end of the first half with 3 timeouts and that they can go score. And then they get the ball back to begin the fourth quarter or the second half, I mean. And so when you have the ball down there and now all of a sudden the clock is running out, of course they wish they had had more than just the one shot at the end zone after that big play. But to get the points out of that, that was a big boost. You know, even though it wasn't as good as I'm sure the fan base wanted, they wanted to push it into the end zone. But still, to get those points at that stage of the game where points, you know, were at such a a premium, even though that neither team had punted up to that point. It was still, it was difficult to score for these teams, difficult to get into the end zone. So I think in a lot of ways, that big play down the field, Jimmy Garoppolo airing it out to Deebo Samuel, that created some momentum for the 49ers to go into the locker room after putting points on the board with zeros left on the clock there in the first half.
That's a big moment for Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan's relationship, I think, because one of the big knocks of Jimmy G is that he doesn't take shots down the field. He's not a threat in that way, which is why it makes the 49ers a lot more one-dimensional when you've got Jimmy Garoppolo under center, as opposed to a Trey Lance or what you saw from Justin Fields, where the guy, you know, is able to make deep throws. Well, we saw Jimmy Garoppolo make deep throws. Mm-hmm. The 49ers, and it changed the game. I mean, it changes the offense. And I don't know if that's more on Shanahan. I don't really know if it's more on Jimmy Garoppolo, but whoever it is, and maybe it's a mix of both. Maybe Kyle saw him make that first long completion and is like, all right, he can handle it. I'm not really sure who it's on, but I would like to see more of that. And yeah. I think Jimmy Garoppolo's confidence is probably built up now after this game against the Bears.
I don't think that Shanahan, well, I don't know that Jimmy has shown that he can do that consistently, and therefore part of the offense is to put your guys in the best positions to succeed. And if your quarterback can't necessarily do that, or you really have to pick your spots, you know, you're not going to continue to ask him to do that. So that was a big play, and those were big plays. And I think they all, it kind of goes back to the being in a play calling rhythm. Right. I mean, one good play kind of leads to another and leads to another. So, on the defensive side, too, the 49ers seem to have, at least for one game, solved their pass interference penalty situation, at least to the point that we don't have to talk about it too much anymore. But
well, you brought it up. Thanks.
Well, in the way that we're not talking about it by talking about it, huh? But Josh,
they did still have quite a few penalties. It was like seven penalties for, I don't even know. What was it? Let's see. Seven penalties.
Some number of yards.
Yeah. I got to find it. Oh, seven penalties for 55 yards.
54, but. Yeah. That's, and then Josh Norman gets the interception there at the end. Before the game, this was kind of a funny scene, and I sent the video in, and it's posted on the NBC Sports Bay Area 49ers Twitter page. Nick Bosa was over before the game signing autographs for fans, a lot of young fans. And he was like, where are you from? Where are you? Oh, you know, I heard him say, I couldn't hear what the answer was. It might've been the people I met from Wisconsin that drove 5.5 hours, but he said, you came a long way for this game, you know, this and that. And then one little fan says, will you get a sack for us today? And Nick is a very understated guy, but he's also kind of funny. And he said, I'll try my best. Well, he got two sacks. 49ers had four sacks on the day. Marcel Harris had one, and Samson Ebukam had another. And that was important with Dee Ford out with a concussion, Azeez Alshire also out with a concussion. So the 49ers got a little bit of pass rush, not a whole lot, but enough, I guess. You know, the pass defense was pretty solid. You know, where they kind of gave it up a little bit was the rushing yards. And, you know, Justin Fields really made more plays with his legs than he did with his arm on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. 10 carries for 103 yards and a touchdown. He had a 22-yard scramble that just kind of gave you a glimpse of what potentially the 49ers have in Trey Lance in the future. When you see Justin Fields able to make plays with his legs and do different things, that's kind of where my mind went. It's how much more can the 49ers open up their offense in the future when you've got a guy that's able to consistently do that?
Well, and that play, that fourth down play he made was just spectacular, because that was an off schedule play. It was a fourth down. It's supposed to be a pass. 49ers had him. It seemed like several times, like three times they had him, and he somehow scooted away and ended up making that phenomenal play. But in the end, it was the San Francisco 49ers who made more big plays, and they come out of Soldier Field with a 33-22 victory. And I can tell you, just reading the body language, hearing it in their voices, this team needed that in the worst possible way. So they're 3-4 heading into a very big game at Levi's Stadium, where the 49ers have not won in a very long time. And they do, let's face it, they need to beat the Arizona Cardinals, who come to town with a 7-1 record atop the NFC West with the Los Angeles Rams. So now, Laura, they just have to do it all over again.
That's it. You just got to do it all over again 10 more times. That's all. Just get a win 10 more times.
Okay. Now I need to find a mop to clean up this mess.
Oh, yeah. Lay them out in the sun if you can, although the wind in Chicago might not let you do that.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.